You can really buy a lot of pig rectums for $300.
Right?
Yeah. Jeez. It's time for Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, episode 377 for March 2nd, 2017. Balls in your hand. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. I am your host, Steven, joined as always by the amazing, the incredible, the wonderful, the cat-eared Smashly. How are you doing, Smashy?
So good,
man. We too are here to take you on a journey across the internet and through the pits of grease and disgusting balls that is the odd news and the weirdness. And yes, we're going to move those testicles out of the way so you can have a beautiful view of the glorious and the best odd news. We scrape the bottom of the barrel so you don't have to. So happy to have you all here. How is everyone doing tonight? Go ahead and type your response into the chat. We will wait.
What's up? Yeah, the 4-minute delay.
We will wait. Oh, man. How are you doing, Smashy?
I'm good. I got to hang out with your son pretty much all day.
Dude, isn't he fun?
He is.
Isn't he the
funnest? I don't have to, like, change his diaper or put him down for nap, so I get all the fun things.
No, you don't, man. You know what I would like to tell anybody, though? Like, I was thinking about babies today for two reasons. Three reasons. Reason number one, I have a baby. Reason number two.
It's a boy.
Had a bit. Oh, where's Joel Aaron? Like, why isn't he around?
I know.
That would be awesome.
He's busy. Like, hella busy.
I know. He's got, like, some sort of video business that took off all of a sudden in his own office with a really beautiful sign and stuff. Like, he's, I don't know, off being a wizard.
He became an adult. It's really confusing.
It's like Eric Webb. Eric Webb's crazy busy now. Like, he's on Twitch just streaming his art all over the place and just making stuff.
That sounds slightly sexual when you say it.
What was sexual?
He's all over Twitch streaming his art everywhere.
Yeah, he's all over Twitch streaming his art, quote unquote. I was thinking about babies because three reasons. I have one. Two, one of the streamers that I watch fairly frequently just had a baby 3 days ago, yet he's managed to not miss a day streaming something for a
certain
amount of time.
Does he have a nanny?
No, his wife's just been in the hospital. They had, I don't know how I would say this, a normal childbirth situation. I'm not sure what that is because my baby did not want to come out, had to be removed surgically, and then was crying for the next six months. but some people, their babies come out and they sleep. And
eat.
They eat.
Mommy doesn't have postpartum.
Mommy's good. Everybody's well. So I don't know about that. But then the third, Felicia Day had a baby. You're familiar
what?
With? Yeah.
She was. What?
Yeah. Kind of came out of nowhere. She kind of kept that under wraps. But so she had a baby, and she seems to be doing well. But she posted a tweet that said, "Before, I don't think we should use a passy because that's bad, or pacifier because it's not good for the child." And then after, oh, good Lord, where is the passy? Find it now. Plug it in. And I'm like, that's a real parent. That is what happens to us. We start out. So I wanted to give anybody who ever thought they might have children, which none of you should. You're all
no.
just keep playing video games. It's fine.
Yay.
Jacob, he said I didn't have to have
a
baby.
You of all people. Just no. Hold on. We have a sound for that.
Oh no, God.
That's what we say. But what's important that you need to know, and I had to learn this too, is throw away all your preconceived notions of what you think you're going to do. Don't sit there and think that anything that you think about a child is going to work in real life.
Yeah.
And then when you have one, then you'll be much more equipped to go, cloth diapers sounded like a good idea, but it's not. And then you'll be okay.
I've seen, like, I've always thought, I'm like, well, if I ever have a kid, I'll use cloth diapers. But then I watched somebody use them, and they literally scraped shit into a sink that they had to, like, specially make with, like, wide pipes mm-hmm. so the shit would not clog.
Yeah. Don't put the...
And it was awful. And so there's just like the aroma of poo in that room. And then plus like hanging diapers in various... I'm like...
Don't do it. That's why Pampers and Huggies make so much money every year.
That's why you adopt a kid that can go take a dump in a toilet.
The child comes out and then you just, what do you tell me to do? Hold it over a bucket?
Look, that's what they do in other countries. They hold the baby over a freaking pee bucket and they go shh, and the child's like, oh, it's pee time, and they pee.
I don't believe for a second that process works.
I'm gonna look it up.
You go hold Sam over a bucket and tell me what happens.
Yeah, but you haven't done it. Like,
I'll teach you. If you can teach an infant to hold it till bucket time, I would be impressed.
Well, I mean, you're going to be bucketing a lot, but if you live in a one room shack, then
yeah, you know that overseas, there's certain tribes that have learned to keep the baby as close as possible for the first 3 months. Like, there's one tribe that actually doesn't take the baby out of a sling. It's constantly attached to its mother for 3 months after birth.
Like a freaking koala.
Yeah, they call it the fourth trimester. It's no joke. Like, babies aren't ready to come out. When they come out, they're just the size they have to be. But they're totally not ready for the outside world.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds like a fun idea, because then you're just like,
yeah,
look. That way, yeah, but then you're just like, okay, you need to do some hardcore abs.
Yeah, right.
Like, during pregnancy and pre-pregnancy, so like those shits are heavy, man.
Yeah, they are. They totally are.
I was like, Stephanie, I've been working out. Feel my guns. And I'm like all impressed with my guns. And she's like, I haven't been working out. Feel mine. I'm like, you're carrying a 30-pound child. That's cheating.
You're carrying around 30 pounds.
Not working out my ass.
I didn't work out either. I got the guns. I got guns. I'm also a dude. It's really fine.
You're like, I'm Steven and I sit and type all day. And Steven's like one of those annoying people that like will do a push-up and like his muscle will go beep. I'm pretty sure he like roids his coffee up.
I do. I always drip a little bit of steroid into my coffee every day. and then I lift like small items. And I'm like, let me see how many times I can lift my phone.
Jacob was telling me about, I don't know why we ended up talking about steroids, but he was telling me about this wrestler. I think it was a wrestler. It was an athlete of some sort that like roided the crap up constantly and like lost his shiz and went home and shot his entire family, including his child. And then just was like, oh shit, I can't get roids in jail, and then shot himself. And I'm like,
Chris Benoit, the crippler. Chris Benoit.
That's what it was. We were talking about Benoit balls, and then he's like, is that like Chris Benoit? Who?
Yep.
Chris, how do you know that?
I used to watch wrestling all the time. Chris Benoit had the move called the crippler. He would lay on you and he'd put his hands up against your face and pull your head back.
Oh, so he wasn't an actual wrestler. He was a wrestler. Okay. I understand now.
Yeah, he was a wrestler. No, he was a wrestling entertainer. I never remember him having like any major storylines. He wasn't necessarily, like, I don't even remember if he was a heel or a foot. What do you call the hero? Like, I know the heel is the bad dude.
A protagonist and an antagonist?
No, it's a heel. It's not the heel and toe. Somebody help me. You call the bad, like, when Hulk Hogan stopped being like a Hulkamaniac, rips his yellow shirt off and he went Hollywood, he was a heel. And
what
then they
are
have
you,
there's so much
a
wrestling
sub and a dom?
There's so much wrestling terminology. Like, there's heels, there's jobbers. A wrestling jobber is a guy who comes out there to lose. And you see those guys like mid TV show and it'll be like, oh, here's, you know, one of Raven's flock, Billy whatever, and he'll come out and he'll just lose the fight, even though he can do some cool moves. And you call those guys jobbers. And sometimes jobbers grow to be like actual mainline wrestlers, but a lot of times they just jobbers. Like Jim Dugan, I'm pretty sure he was a jobber. Or Jim Duggan.
Wait, Jim Dugan's a guy we made up that has a chicken.
He has
a
very similar name.
Book about him. And
Jim Duggan was the hacksaw, and he'd come out with a 2x4 and hit people with it.
I now know how you feel while we're talking about Dungeon Boss, because everything you've said for the last 10 minutes, I'm just like, what?
Oh, something to change says The Rock was supposed to be a jobber, but he had charisma out the wazoo. Back when he was Rocky Maivia, And he came out and he was all like looking Jerry curled and, you know, soul glow all over his head.
Did I send you the picture of his face at the Oscars? Somebody ended up taking a picture of, like, you know, they panned out of the audience and it was just him face. And it's got like his, you know, the Rock's eyebrow.
Oh yeah, the people's eyebrow.
Like, he's the epitome of a WTF face. And I snapped it and I blew it up and I'm like, meme. So that's like my picture now.
That's amazing. I sent
it to people. That's beautiful. I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Did you watch the Oscars?
Hell no.
Nah, I watched some of it. I think I'm not interested in much of it as like I used to be. I don't know why that is. Like, I don't know why the Oscars was such an event for me years and years ago, because I had my little list and I was all excited. But that's the best. That's the best. The audio listeners, check out the YouTube, because you need to see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember like the Oscars and the Grammys and any of that. I'm just like, wah, wah.
I don't do the Grammys. The Grammys are kind of stupid. I don't do the Emmys. The Oscars always did, because I was a movie fan. But
yeah, that's because you know everybody.
But I don't get to watch as many movies, and I don't get to watch all the Oscar contenders. Like, that's usually the fun part, is you go and watch all the Best Picture nominees. And it's like, oh, wow, I saw all these movies, and like three of them are good, and the rest of them were too confusing or dark, and I hated myself.
You know? Wait, what was Moonlight? I've never even heard of Moonlight.
It's a movie about Logan comes out to... Oh, tomorrow's Logan. See, for me, Saturday is Logan. I don't know what Moonlight was about. It was about... it was a full all-black cast. So, that was a big deal, because last year they felt like the Oscars were whitewashed and everybody who got nominated or was, like, for anything was a white person. So this year, like, a movie with an all-black cast, not to mention a movie that touches on being a black homosexual, was, like, a big deal. Like, it won all these awards, and Mahershala Ali is one of the main characters in that movie. I think he won Best Supporting Actor or something. So there's, like, a lot of people that were just like, oh, my gosh, it's finally turning around. And I'm just sitting there like, I wonder if it would have won if they hadn't fussed last year. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean, like, when you yell, like, this is a Stephen Show topic coming up, because I tend to get in trouble. There are some questions that you are not allowed to ask. Right?
What do you
mean? Like, there's questions you're not allowed to ask. Like in sense of if the black cinema community did not get upset at the Oscars last year, would the outcome of this year have been the same?
Yeah.
Had it, and it's that way, and these are questions you're not allowed to ask because it makes people uncomfortable. And
well, it makes you, yeah, you're just like, well, you're a racist, some of...
Right, so, right. Why is it assumed that because I asked that question that my opinion is that it was that way? Like, why can't I just ask the question out of curiosity and wonder, rather than people go automatically, he must not want black people to win Oscars. It's like, no.
Hollywood is so... Like, I went and watched that movie, Get Out, with Stephanie. And it's a very, like, racial movie. And I was sitting in the movie, and I was like, there's mostly black people in here. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know when you walk into a room and there's, like, one black person or one, like, Chinese person or one, like, Asian person? Like... I've never, like, we don't have to feel that on a daily basis.
No, we don't.
And so I'm just like, I was with Stephanie because we were on a girls' date, and I'm just like, wow.
Is this what that feels like?
Yeah, I'm just like, this is a daily occurrence for people. And, you know, we're just like, okay, there's the whole talk about white privilege, and it makes white people feel uncomfortable, but it's an actual thing. Like, we don't have... Yeah, the Duke basketball game. Oh, my God. Like, we went to Durham, which is a predominantly black city, to go see the Duke FSU football team or the basketball team. The only black people in that entire stadium were the FSU basketball players.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, I looked out. I'm like, there is. I saw a couple. They were darker skinned. They may have been Indian, they may have been, I mean, couldn't really tell, but I'm just like, you're literally the only people with a tan in this entire building. Like, I'm in a city made out of, like, in predominantly black area, And we've made it until, well, you know, unless you're really freaking rich or you know somebody, you can't afford to get into the game. You don't have the connection. So, that was like white privilege smacked in the face. And I'm just like, this is shit.
Oh, yeah, it exists. And to think that it doesn't exist is silly. And no, we don't live with it. I don't know how we got this. This topic is pretty heavy.
Welcome to Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, hey, race edition.
Yeah, welcome to Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. No, sometimes I just get on these little tangents and we have to think about it. Like, I was thinking, oh, so we had this sermon at church one day, or like the special deal that they were doing, where they brought on a couple other faith leaders in the church that were black, and had them sit down, and they were like, we're trying to figure out, or just to express like some of the challenges that are faced, because it was all that police crime and stuff like that, and like Black Lives Matter and all that. So the guy sat down, he's like, there are things that we have to tell our children that you people will never have to. He didn't say you people. I said you people. I said you people. But he said there's things that we have to tell our children that you don't have to worry about. Like, there are things that we have to tell our children early on in their lives so that they are prepared for what will happen to them. Like, people like me and you are kind, right? We don't really care what color you are. But there are people that do care. You know, one of the other lead pastor guys was like, I was in Georgia with a predominantly white group of people, but I was the one black guy because I went to a mostly white school. And he's like, and we were on a trip for band or something like that. And he was like, we were in Macon, Georgia, and we were walking from a restaurant back to our hotel room. And there was a car that came by decked in Confederate flag, everything. And he had to like put his hood on and hide between his friends. They still managed to see him before he was able to do that. And yelled horrible things out the window at him. He's like, I'm not, like, I'm with all these other guys, and they're like singled out by these dudes in a truck. And it's like, he has to live with that. Me and you don't. We get to walk down the street and it ain't a big deal.
Right.
I'd be upset. I don't know how to change any of that. They can't legislate people into being good.
Don't be a douche nugget.
Yeah, but here we are at Horseshoes and Hand Grenades to say, welcome to the show. And
use your white privilege for good things, folks. That's our message.
Just be
use
good
it.
To people.
Acknowledge that you have it and use it for good things.
Just be good to people. It's so much easier than being an awful dirtbag. It pays dividends, man. Like, it really does. We should do a factoid. Hey,
we everybody. Should do a factoid.
Egyptians used coal, like as in coals, as in like it says KOHL. What is that?
Right. That's a black eyeliner.
Yeah.
Okay, like a black coal eyeliner.
Yeah. Egyptians used coal to darken their eyelashes, and they added honey and crocodile stool to keep this early version of mascara from running. You want to put some crocodile crap? Hey, have you tried that yet? That sounds like something that you'd be into.
So the mascara I have on now is hippie bullcrap.
Yeah?
The saddest thing is, like, my hippie mascaras, like, they make my eyelashes long, but you can't... They're so... Like, the stuff that makes your eyelashes fall out and, like, you get cysts in your eye because it's awful for you and it's, like, rubbing cancer in your ocular orb. It makes your eyelashes look awesome, but I'm just like, oh, whatever, vanity. I'll just rub the crocodile shit on my face.
You know what your problem is? You're using bullcrap instead of...
Horseshit!
That's your problem.
Is that crocodile done? I need to get me some horse crap.
You got
to
get a hold of that crocodile, that crocodile stuff. You go down to Louisiana, they probably sell it in a can.
Resident Evil, like, the first few seconds of the game, I just kept waiting for, like, an alligator to hop out. I'm like, why would you set an RE game in Louisiana? Nobody wants to be in Louisiana.
Louisiana's legit now. That's where they put Mafia 3. They put that in 1970 Louisiana. They put Resident Evil in Louisiana. There's a lot of creepy stuff in Louisiana. Like, New Orleans, they have to bury people above ground. Like, that's going to be zombie number two or number one.
Well, yeah. And that's, like, one of the things I really liked about the RE games was the kind of the lab aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the whole backwoods wrong turn. Like, and that's what this is going. And I'm just, and, you know, it's got the typical RE controls. So you're just like, I would rather... run over my foot with a Mack truck and then, like, poop out a brick, then play this right now.
That's why I don't touch those games. I don't.
But I want to know the plot. Like, you've got this weird lady calling you, and I'm like, how did I get here? What happened? Who is the she they keep talking about?
I know. It's, but you know what? I told McFly that we need to hook him up with a heart rate monitor when he plays. If he streams it, we could get.
That's a good idea.
Dude.
That should be a thing.
So Arrowhead wants to know if the hippie crap works better than crocodile crap as far as mascara goes. Do you think?
Hi, Arrow. I didn't see you. I missed that. I don't know. I crocodile crap would be a little bit much to me because they eat flesh. So like if you rub horse shit or cow shit on your face, it's whatever. It's like vegetable matter. I just feel like if you rubbed a like post-digested rotting hippo carcass on your eyes, that might not be as good for you. That's probably why they put the honey in it, because honey's antibacterial, and they probably like their eyes would have swelled shut if they just rubbed crocodile shit all in their face.
That's really interesting. Thank you.
The
more you know. Yeah, cool stuff. All right, man. You want to do some world news?
Mm-hmm.
World news. College student makes extra money turning dead animals into pencil cases.
What?
I've always wanted to keep my pencils inside a dead squirrel.
Yeah, what? You know,
that's always been some goal of mine.
What?
A British university student found an unusual way to make some spare cash, making pencil cases out of dead animals after teaching himself taxidermy.
Oh, jeez.
You figure you could do an apprenticeship for that? Like, is that something you can...
At what point do you go, I'm going to teach myself how to make stuffed animals, literally stuffed animals. Like, at what point do you go, this might be, like, some people might look at me and think that I'm a serial killer, and I probably will be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've heard of people doing it, like, they'll go find small animals or dead birds and stuff, and just bloop, 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 and stuff cotton in there, and they're like, this helps center me. Yeah, I don't really like it. Jack Devaney, 22, who is studying 3D design in Devon, England, said he used skills honed while working part-time in a butcher shop for 9 years to experiment with frozen mice and rats sold as snake food at pet stores. Devaney said his initial experiments led him to branch out into larger animals, such as squirrels, moles, and rabbits. I have a mold he could come take care of. A mole in my backyard. There's no good way to take care of those moles except to kill them and have to move them somewhere.
Stephanie and I used to catch them.
You can catch a mole. Well, you guys can. Yeah. Well, come catch a mole in my yard. It's digging up everything. It's awful.
Aw.
Yeah, I'm going to kill it.
Aw. Don't kill it. It's. Oh, my God. Steven, there's a freaking picture.
Of what?
Oh,
of the pencil boxes? Oh, you know what that means. If we get to see it, you guys get to see it.
No.
Where's the pencil? Oh, he puts a zipper on it?
Oh, that's
terrible.
Oh, my God. It's like a furry muff case.
That's
with
he put googly eyes on it.
Its ass is a pencil sharpener.
Oh, my gosh. This is the hero, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is the hero of the day.
He put a pencil sharpener in its ass.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
What? You've got to
want one. I don't want one.
Did you just say I kind of want one?
Oh, no, God! No, God, please, no!
That's how I feel. He said his orders started to flood in after he posted photos of a pencil case that was once a rat on Imgur. How you say that? Anybody else? Can anybody give me the
That's
phonetic?
That's how I say it.
I say Imgur.
Imgur.
Imgur? Imgur, maybe? I love Imgur. I just don't know how to pronounce it properly. It's kind of like, should it be Imgur? Gif,
I
gif?
I say Imgur.
You know? Imgur? Okay, Yeshbot says Imgur is the phonetic for it.
So. We're dumb.
Oh, yeah. Is it really hard to put pencils in a dead animal? Wouldn't it be like stuffing a Jedi in a Tauntaun?
Oh,
well, we know that's happened.
Oh,
and I thought they smell bad on the outside.
You have to show them the picture. It's awful.
I did. I put the picture up forever. Yeah. They were able to see. Devaney says they're most popular in America, figures, but I've also sold them in Norway. I think it's great that I've managed to sell some. Me too. He said not everyone who contacts him is a potential customer. There's been a varied response. The average post has ranged from, this guy is a nut job, to where can I get one? But I'm always polite when I'm responding. Devaney said he doesn't think you'll make taxidermy pencil cases into a career. You'd have to be a nutter to think you could make a living out of this, he said. Some people suggested my work is satirical or that they have a deeper meaning, but they're just daft. Those people are idiots. I'm just making pencil cases. I love
that's
when...
That's too bad. There's a pencil sharpener in... I don't understand. Like, that's so important to me that he shut... Like, it's got a big old a-hole that you ram your... You're just like pencils stuck up on a zippered up rat.
I don't really think it's that bad, you know?
Oh my God. Yesh wants to have his dog stuffed for a man purse.
You know, that's fine. It's better than the cat gyrocopter. You remember that thing?
that was creepy. So bad.
Yeah, you gross. Know, it's people suggesting his work is satirical. That's something that artists have dealt with all the time. Like I remember the wonderful quote from Finding Forrester, a movie starring Sean Connery, before he quit acting. And he said he was a famous author who wrote one novel that was critically acclaimed and like kind of Catcher in the Rye style, like everybody has to read it, all this stuff. And he disappears after that. No one's seen him. And he shows back up and they're like, well, why did you quit? And he said, I got so tired of everyone telling me what I was trying to say.
That's like, actually kind of sad.
Yeah, because imagine you're a poet. You're just like, I like pancakes. There's butter on them. Syrup is delicious. And they're like, this poet is genius. It means that he enjoys the life with the things as part of it. And he's like, no, seriously, it was just a poem about pancakes. Like, you're thinking too hard. Stop.
That's I do love, because I was in the English program at a couple of different colleges. And the tenured teachers were the biggest blowhards on the planet. Like, none of the other teachers liked them. Like, I would actually sit with some of the teachers that I really liked, and we would talk shit about my English profs and my literature profs and, like, just what giant douche nozzles they were. Like, who? You teach English at a university. You're not that cool.
You're not cool.
Like Dumbledore. But yeah, it was just there. I'm just like, what? You're not like waxing poetic. You're just espousing what you think someone says as the law.
I think that they just get so used to telling people who don't know the things they know what they should know, yeah, that it kind of becomes like it's almost an involuntary response. Is I'm a brilliant human being.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I kind of wonder if that just happens. It's like you're just around people who know less than you so often.
That you immediately
start thinking like, because it like literally when you're the professor, you're the smartest person in the room, and that means you should find a new job. So, yeah. But they also write books and go to conferences and study and do all this stuff.
Like, I think like academia would be really fun, and like I think having a classroom would be really fun. But I don't ever want to. We've got this innate thing that we have to be right. You know, yeah. Like. It sucks. I hate telling somebody that I don't know, because I feel like nobody says I don't know what that means or what is that anymore. So when you say that, people are taken aback. What do you mean you don't know what that is? I'm like, well, you asked me if I knew what that was and I said no. So I was assuming you were going to tell me what it was. I mean, I can go Google it, but
yeah.
So sure. I don't know. Like, I hate being wrong, but I also don't want to stop learning because that's problematic for people.
Yeah, man. Like, think about like when you're talking to somebody and they mention something that you haven't heard of, but they just say it. Like, I am awful. I'm trying to get better about it because I want to respond quickly to their like what they just said. And I'll go, oh yeah,
yeah.
And a lot of times, like, I'll be like, I have no idea what that means. Why did I just say, oh yeah? But I don't know.
It's a response. Yeah, it's a knee jerk.
I don't want to just stop their train of thought. I think it's a concern for them. It breaks the flow of conversation for me to all of a sudden go, I'm sorry, I've never heard of that thing before. Could you now detour 6 miles and explain it to me, and then we'll come back?
And you're just hoping that like you can get it by the content of
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, because that's how we learn English. We learn via context. We're like, okay, that word was used in this statement, so that word means this. But when they're talking about, like, a movie or something that you've never seen, and you're like, oh, yeah, that thing that happened. Why did I just agree to that? Why did I do that? So I'm working very hard at slowing down and being like, okay, think about what they just said before you nod your head in agreement, you moron.
That's very Japanese of you. Hi.
Well, yeah, I want to be like, yeah, everything you're saying is awesome. And then I'm like sitting inside my head going, I have no idea what three of those things were.
I get like when people are talking to me, you know how like you get in a conversation, you're just like, I super don't want to be in a conversation. I'm like miles away. I'm distracted. Yeah. And you just go, yeah, yeah. And you find yourself like staring at them and thinking about like, I don't know how badly you want to play beach volleyball. You're just like, yeah, yeah. And they're just like so happy to be talking to somebody that gets them. And you're just like, oh, I'm a shithead.
Have you ever? So I've done that. I've looked like I start noticing that I'm staring them in the eyes. And then yeah. I start focusing on staring them in the eyes and I'm not listening to them at all.
Yes. You're like, I have maintained eye contact entirely too long, but I am not entirely sure where to stare. I'll look over here, but I feel slightly disinterested. Look back, look back. Oh, okay. We're looking back.
Yeah.
No idea what you're all thinking. Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Right.
So I've done.
Can I look away now for the love of God?
Your face is awesome. So I've done that, and I've also been engaged and looked at them, and they're so excited that I can't smile big enough, and my face literally hurts by trying to match their excitement over something. There was one person in my past in particular that exhausted me, because I would be like, I am also a nerd, and I appreciate the nerdy subject that we're talking about, but you are nerding out so much more than I can, and I'm trying my best to be as joyful as possible for you, but my cheeks hurt, and I need to go away. I'm starting to get a literal headache from listening to you talk about it.
My cheeks hurt, and I need to go away.
I can't handle this anymore. Can we move on, please? Like, if I ever do that to you, just punch me in the head.
Yo, that's fantastic. Did you see Arrow in the chat said I got thrown out of the Andy Warhol Museum for suggesting that he really didn't have a deeper meaning than liking super stacking up soapboxes. He said he's totally serious. The tour lady called security.
That's amazing. You disrespected Dandy Warhol.
That's like, are you not allowed to have an opinion on something?
Not in Andy Warhol's museum.
I hate Andy Warhol. I think it's pretentious bullshit, and everybody was huffed up on cocaine.
Everybody was doing a lot of drugs back then. You know, Schwarzenegger met Andy Warhol. Hung out with him at his studio while he was stacking naked people.
Girlfriend?
Did he what? No, I don't think so. I mean, he slept with a lot of people. Schwarzenegger got around. but he hung out at Andy's studio while he was arranging naked people in such a way that he could take this amazing picture of them.
Naked people art. Leonard Nimoy took some naked people art.
What, really?
Yeah. He's like, a naked art I went guy? And perused his gallery. And they were fairly voluptuous women. I mean, they weren't, you know,
gosh.
And I'm just like, there are so many, like, why?
If you are a photographer, it's like you have a license to ask women if you can photograph them.
Yes.
And it's really creepy. But, like, photography dudes do it all the time. They're like, you're beautiful. Would you like to come to my studio so I could photograph you? And what they mean is, would you like to come to my studio, get naked, we can hang out, things can happen, and we can take
sit
a couple pictures.
Sit on my couch and then I'll make you famous.
Yeah. Like, would you... So, okay. You want to get... They do these, and this is probably a bad question again. You want to get attractive pictures taken for a calendar for your significant other. People do this, you know?
Yes.
Would you?
We have a mutual friend that's done this for people.
Would you more likely allow a male photographer to take those pictures or a female photographer to take those pictures? Or would it not matter as long as the quality?
I would use my damn iPhone, like, filter the shit out of that on Snapchat and, like, print it out.
You're like, boom. All the filters. Like, my butt has a dog face. Look at what I just did.
Yesh, actually, so Yesh's Snapchat is filled with, and it's like become this amazing thing. He takes pictures of stuff he finds in the gutters and then like makes a punny little statement about them. And I'm like, oh my God, you could open an art gallery and sell this shit for billions of, I'm not even playing. Like if he just made, you know, gutter trash exhibit A. Like, Yesh would make $1 billion and his dog would never run out of rope. Choy toys.
So what we learned here is that you should follow Yeshbot on Snapchat.
Yes.
Is that what we're looking at?
He does it on Instagram, too.
Follow Yeshbot on Instagram and Snapchat.
Yeah, he's going to do a photo book. It's like, that's the, one of the old, like, I don't really get into photography unless it's like slightly gothy, slightly fantasy, like the wild costumes and stuff. But I'm just like, I really enjoy watching Yesh take pictures of shit he finds in the gutter.
You're like, I would have a coffee table book of that.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, we should read a story.
We should. Small Town News. Dress says, I once saw a painting of Christ done with elephant poop. It was hanging in a museum.
I've seen my nephew paint stuff that I'm pretty sure would sell for at least $500,000. And I'm like, God, these people out there that are so good and like do these photorealistic pencil drawings. And then like someone draws a blue line down a tapestry and it's $1 billion.
Abstract art ticks me off to no end, especially paint splatter abstract art. It ticks me off.
I think it's pretty, and I would love to do it. I'm just not going to pay a lot of money for it. I'm not going to pay any money for it. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to melt my own damn crayons.
It's not that, I mean, like, I hate to say that it's not that impressive, because there's techniques to splatter paint. Like,
there's color theory and
there's
stuff.
There's colors, there's style. But when you look at it as a completed product, you're just like, why is this $500,000 piece of art? Why? Yeah. When that guy over there who's living on the sidewalk is painting gorgeous beach scenes.
Yeah.
You know, it just ticks me off. I don't get it.
I guess it just depends on what... Adulting 101 classes for young adults launch at North Bend Public Library. This actually might be a good idea.
I'm not down on it yet. It could be a good thing.
Yeah, a local library has launched an ouch new program to help young adults fend for themselves once they leave home, because school sure as F doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. Adulting, as the kids call it, is hard. You're not making that a kid thing. That's a me thing and a Steven thing and a people our age thing.
That's an everybody thing.
But the North Bend Public Library is making it a little easier. On the first class of Adulting 101, we covered basic cooking skills that you can do in your dorm, explained Assistant Director of Library Service Teresa Lucas. Wow.
Okay.
We also talked ways to stretch your dollar in the grocery store and how you can get the most bang for your buck. This is fantastic and needs to be offered everywhere.
We should start to do a class. I mean, I'll lead it. You can be the example student.
I was going to say, I have nothing to teach them. How to brush your teeth every day.
How to brush your teeth with coal and infused dog urine. And you point at me.
Coconut oil and charcoal, man. It's a thing.
Yeah, I believe it. So is Sensodyne.
Black is not water soluble. It is fat soluble, oil soluble. So water does shit all. Coconut oil makes it go away.
That's why you use the toothpaste. You don't just put water in your teeth.
Yeah, but you're scrubbing versus actually having it. So it's like you've got dirt. You've got oil on your hands, right?
Yeah.
Like you can wash it off with like some stuff, or you can use like more oil, and oh my gosh, all the dirt came off because the oil is soluble with oil. And then
could use soap on your hands.
I lived in a dorm in my first year of college, and I lived in varied apartments, some of which didn't have kitchens and didn't allow you to have kitchen supplies, explained library aide and Adulting 101 instructor Clara Piazzoli. And so I left home not really knowing how to cook, and I ended up getting very inventive and teaching myself a lot of these tips. One parent who brought his kids to the class appreciated the tips. Just one, though.
Yeah.
I think it's important for children to learn these kinds of things from someone other than their parents, because sometimes they don't listen to their parents, and this actually gave a lot of good information for kids to use. That's the next session actually covers financial. That's actually a really, like, should be a thing, because we don't learn how to cook in school. We don't learn how to balance a checkbook. We don't even, well, I mean, that's figuratively.
Yeah.
We don't learn how to, like, nothing financial. Nothing.
No, no. I took consumer math. I learned things in consumer math. I took that class because I wanted to get all A's in my senior year. And I didn't have to take a complicated math. I could take consumer math, which is basically 5 + 5 equals taxes. And yes. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I think I took that, but I don't remember.
No, so I like this class. I don't know if I agree with the kids don't listen to their parents. I agree to an extent. So they've done studies and they've shown through practical research, kids do not listen to their parents, but they do watch their parents and they do emulate their parents and they do eventually become their parents. So it's all about engaging your kids in the daily activities that you do. They don't have to listen. They just have to occasionally watch you. And your behaviors with money and your behaviors with cooking. And if you involve your kids in the kitchen, hey, guess what? They're going to learn to cook. Like, if Sam has already cooked eggs and pancakes and he's not even two. Like, there's things that you bring them in and you involve them in your stuff that makes the biggest difference. So you don't, like, it's like parents who are like, the government isn't teaching my children to drive anymore. They're not offering driver's ed in school. Like, I've heard that. I've heard that said. And then one of them said, well, how are they supposed to learn to drive? Like, get your butt in the freaking car and teach them how to drive. What are you? Like, are you just hanging on to them for a while or are you an actual parent? Like, could you please get in the car with them and teach them as a parent how to drive? Or are you just going to be like, oh, the government will take care of them. I'll let them do their thing and teach my child to drive with their books and stuff. No, practical experience, yo. Apprenticeship. You are glorified apprentice-y? No. Apprenticer, how do you say master? And they are the apprentice, and you teach them things. That is your chief job, is to provide them tools to succeed.
So, what about a family with one mother that has to work two shifts, including like doesn't get home until 2 a.m, gets up at 6?
My prescription is not a one size fits all situation.
Yeah, well, I think that's a lot of the problem. I mean,
you might be right. Yeah,
sometimes you end up having like really young parents that should never have had children. They don't understand what's going on in their life, let alone be able to hand that down. Sometimes you've got like areas where there's one parent in the house and they're working their ass off, and I mean they're making sure their kids aren't going to starve to death, but that's as much as they can do. So
right,
and you've got people like me who didn't pay a damn bit of attention to anything, and I'm like, how do you cook water?
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. So McFly says edge case, and I think he's referring to my edge case, is that there's actually two parents in the home. One of them is actually stay-at-home mom. So yeah, we are an edge case at this point, because I think it's more likely you're going to have two parents working or single parent home. Like, I used to argue with a friend, with a guy at work, because he, one of them was like, you know, gays shouldn't be able to adopt children and stuff. Oh, and I was like, okay. Okay, you're sitting there and you've got either a kid in a single parent home or a kid in a family of like two gay dudes or women or whatever with two parents at home. Who do you think is going to have the more balanced situation overall? And I would lean on the person with two parents, regardless of whether that's two dudes or not.
Right.
Because the other person, the mom is juggling all the work and all the time, or the dad is juggling all the work and all the time and all the schoolwork and all the stuff and immense pressure, and like it's not likely that they will have as much time to give to their kids as the two that are balancing responsibilities.
Var just said I should have children, and I've never wanted to hit him more in my entire life.
No, God!
Dressed, enjoy Logan, let us know how it is.
Yeah, have a good time.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. I would love to actually do one of these. It's really cool. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I have a special section today.
Okay.
I have a special section. I don't have a... That's a special section. So I learned... This is a really heavy episode. We have talked about...
I was going to say, holy crap.
Pretty intense stuff. But hey, it's fine. If you want to send hate mail or whatever, that's cool. Sometimes H&H is heavy. But today, it is. So I read... this amazing study. Would you like to hear about this study, Smash? It's about grittiness.
Okay.
So back in the 60s, these researchers took dogs. And this is the part that's a little bit wonky, but you got to listen through the end. They took these dogs, they put them in a cage, and they would shock their hind feet. Like, they would shock them for like 5 seconds, and then they let off. And they would shock them for 5 seconds, they let off. One dog... they put a button in front of its nose, and if it pushed the button, the shock would end early, so it would end quickly. The other dog didn't have a button. It would just have to deal with it, you know, through the whole shock. So they did that for like an hour or so with these dogs. The next week, they took the same dogs and they did another test where they put them in a cage where it was like half the cage was a platform that would shock their feet and the other half of the cage was not. And there was a wall in between. So if the dog put in any level of effort to jump over the wall, they would be safe and they would no longer be shocked.
Okay.
They found that the dogs who could press the button and relieve the shocking were much faster at learning they could jump the wall than the dogs that didn't. The dogs that didn't, in many cases, would simply lay down and whimper. They wouldn't even try to jump the wall. And it was
they didn't know there was any escape from it.
They had dealt with suffering for so long that they determined that suffering was just part of life and that was what they were going to have to do. And so, like that, they used that to show, which is really interesting, that people who have dealt with suffering that is out of their control are more willing to submit to further suffering even when a way out is available.
Oh, that's so depressing.
How fascinating is that, that people can be like that simple? Like, that's actually like a level of grittiness. Is like they actually measured there were some dogs who, despite having dealt with all that suffering, were still willing to jump out.
Right.
But it was incredibly, the ratio was so much lower than the dogs who had always had an opportunity to get out of the situation.
That's, wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
I would actually, I kind of want to read that. We're assholes for like, going, hey, let's shock a dog to make us a point.
Yeah,
let's,
no, I agree.
Let's take a monkey away from its mama and give it this wire hanger as a friend.
I'm really, like, I agree with you completely. We're pretty screwed up. But I thought that was really fascinating because it says a lot about people who consistently have dealt with like either their own failures or garbage that's out of their control, and why we have so many people where we say pull yourself up by your bootstraps and like just get to work, make your life better. They're so convinced that there is no better because they've never known it. They're just stuck.
Oh, that's so depressing.
Isn't that fascinating? So that gave me a lot more empathy to people who had dealt with crap. Like, course, their whole lives.
Period of time, yeah. Because yeah, at some point, like, people get frustrated. They're like, why won't you do anything about this?
Yeah. You're like, there's plenty of opportunities. And though there are opportunities, there's a lot of work required to get to those opportunities. There's no, like, they just don't feel like there's any chance. The hopelessness has been built in. Like, they just,
right.
No, I don't have a shot. Like, really fascinating study. But I wanted to share that because I shared it with Stephanie and I was like, oh, it's amazing. And she was like, that's really interesting. And I'm like, this should change our perspective on things.
Yeah. Don't be a douche.com.
Yeah. Help people. But yeah. So cool stuff. Cool story, bro. News bear left untold. Postal work.
Oh my.
I just read the title ahead of where I was.
And wow. That was really
funny. Getting through it. Postal worker who pleasured himself through letterbox caught on CCTV making unwanted delivery. Oh, this is great. A formal parcel force driver has expressed, quote, enormous shame and regret after performing sex acts in the letterbox of a house in Northern Ireland over a six-month period.
How did he, like, what?
Is it a slot? It's certainly not.
Yeah, like, I don't understand the like, did he just, like.
Did he just put it in there and.
Yeah. Am I in yet, baby?
Did he, I mean, was this manual or was this automated?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering.
Like, is it, oh wait, hold on, I've got a perfect sound for this.
That is what you call a glory hole.
Last August, a man who was having work done on his late mother's house at Derry's Road in Monea became suspicious after observing a puddle on the floor just inside the front door of the house, the court heard.
Oh my god, it was the door! He was effing the door!
Right, the letterbox on the front door. Oh. He installed a CCTV camera to identify the culprit, and footage showed a Parcel Force van pulling up outside the house one lunchtime. The man walked to the door and placed his private parts in the letterbox on the front door. On the recording, he then appeared to dug on the chicken or whatever.
Masturbate.
Yeah, that's the word. Through the letterbox. He decided to deliver a package. He decided to handle his business. The incident lasted a few minutes before the man got back into the van and drove off. On a second occasion, a few days later, the man noticed the camera as he was carrying out the sex act. After police examined the footage, Camblin was interviewed and denied urinating, but admitting pulling on the old sausage there.
How is that better, that worse than saying masturbate?
Describing the act as, quote, spontaneous, he could offer no other explanation. Defending solicitor Rory Gillen told the court that his client had worked for Parcel Force for 21 years and had never had any issues with the police before this incident. Admitting that it was a bizarre case that fell outside sentencing guidelines, the solicitor said that Camblin had been married for 17 years and only having sex with his mistress for, you know, a few. Mr. Gillen confirmed that the defendant had initially been suspended from work and later resigned. He's currently being supported financially by his wife, who is probably like, I told you you'd get caught.
Wasn't it last show where we talked about them wanting to give people like sex breaks? Maybe that's what they need. Maybe postmen need some sex breaks, but not with the mailbox.
Why the same door though?
Maybe it was out of the way.
Yeah, maybe he just couldn't be seen, and he was just like, I'm going to do this thing.
Can you imagine the sinking gut feeling you would get going, yay, this is the best lunch break. Oh, shit, there's a camera.
There's a camera, yep. You will, so if you do a questionable thing long enough, you will get caught.
Yeah.
You will eventually slip up. You will create. So this is the thing about addiction, which is really fascinating. Welcome to Horseshoe Narrative,
the deep edition.
No, so you will continually push the limits till you're eventually found out. This happens especially with secret addictions like porns and stuff. You will eventually be in a situation where you do a thing that you should not do and you will get caught for doing it because the danger is part of it, right? It's going to happen.
You said porn addiction. Stephanie and I were chit-chatting and she was asking something about Jacob. And I can't even remember what she was going to ask about, but like her brain just totally like exploded. And she goes, how's Jacob doing with his porn addiction? And I was like, what? And she just kind of looked at me. She's like, that's not what I meant to say at all. I'm like, well, I didn't know he had a porn addiction, so.
Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, we just started cracking up. Like, I was just like, what did you even? She's like, I don't know. My brain just went. I'm like, well, that's good.
Stephanie's evidently got her porn addiction on her mind.
Yeah, that's why Jacob had all those condoms.
It's, you know, sometimes people got their porns. They need it. One day it's just normal porns, then it's cow and chicken porns. You just never know where you're going to end up. Door WTF? Porn.
That is.
That's not the sound.
WTF.
Australia plans to kill carp with herpes?
That sounds like a good plan to me.
What?
It's a virus.
I feel like Australia's been dicked over enough to realize that maybe you shouldn't introduce one thing to kill another thing.
There are so many lethal creatures in Australia. They're just like, what's herpes is fine. We can survive all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Feral cats, bugs, it'll be fine.
Man of war, jellyfish, whatever.
Barnaby, well, those were like the cats and the beetles were certain things they introduced to the environment to get rid of other things. And now there it's a huge problem because they have no natural predators. Barnaby Joyce, the deputy prime minister, said the only way to get rid of the bottom-dwelling, mud-sucking fish was to unleash herpes on it. Oh my God, that's the best sentence I've ever read in my entire life.
Hey, bottom-dwelling, mud-sucking suckers. They're bugging.
Was to unleash herpes. The F. I guess herpes kills carp.
Sure. Herpes kills things.
This is so gonna be. This is a nightmare. Somebody needs to go. This is stupid. The $15 million eradication program dubbed Carpageddon by the government aims to rid the Murray Darling Basin of carp. No. Mr. Joyce's spirited rant was met with laughter in Australia's lower house. Carp were first. Oh, God. See?
Yeah. Yep.
Carp were first introduced to Australia in 1859, but numbers exploded in the 1960s after an adapted fish farming strain was accidentally released into the wild. See?
They did it. It's their fault.
Estimated carp make up around 80 to 90 of the fish biomass within the Murray Darling Basin, Australia's most important agricultural region. Can't read. The carp are prolific breeders that compete with native fish. No shit. That's why you don't introduce non-native shit into an area, you dumbasses. Their toothless jaws mean they need to feed at the bottom of rivers, which causes erosion and makes the water turbid, reducing water quality. Mr. Joyce said the invasive species was costing the Australian economy up to $500 million per year, The federal government wants to release cyprinid herpes virus?
Oh, it's carp herpes.
Oh, my God.
They have their own herpes.
Which first appeared in Israel into the Murray River to kill around... This may be Murray.
I like Murray River.
Yeah, around 95% of the carp. Scientist Minister Christopher Pine said the virus would have no impact on humans.
Guarantee that, Science Minister Chris Pine.
But the cleanup would be costly. Thousands of carp are expected to die after the virus is released. Suddenly, there will be literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of tons of carp. Tons of carp. That will be dead in the River Murray, Mr. Pine said. Oh, okay.
What if they kill all the carp?
What is a carp? Well, they're non-native. They're an invasive species, so kill all of the carp.
Oh, so they need to kill the carp.
Yeah, they don't belong there.
Well, like, we've been trying to kill kudzu for a long time.
Yeah.
We got all the kudzu.
Carp herpes virus. Frequently asked, why are carp a problem in Australia?
That's interesting. So Google knows. That carp is a problem. I just like that there's a science minister. Like, that just sounds like two words that are opposed to each other in a lot of cases.
The carp herpes virus is highly specific to carp, including the koi ornamental variety, and only causes death in carp, with no other fish known to be effective. Oh, geez. Even the closely related goldfish. The carp herpes virus is a waterborne virus and highly contagious. Viral particles in water may be active for up to 3 days. New outbreaks of the disease can be expected when fish are stressed or in large aggregations. Clinical signs of disease include mortality are mostly common when water temperatures are 28 Celsius. There is little or no disease above the 30 Celsius or 15 Celsius. I can't convert that.
No, huh. No.
Oh, it damages their kidneys, skin, and gills.
There's got to be a better way. Maybe we can just throw some dynamite in there and do some dwarven fishing. Yeah, millions of tons of dead herpes-infected carp floating around the bay is a great intro to a zombie movie. Thanks, Arrow.
Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. Like, I didn't realize herpes killed carps.
Well, I mean, at least it's a weapon. We're weaponizing herpes, everybody. Put that in the headline, and we'll see how many people get interested.
Now, this is going to be an awful, awful idea.
Last of Us started because of the cordyceps. Not because of herpes.
Oh, yeah. What was the one with the bees? Like, the bees carry the things? That was, like, the mall one.
The mall one?
Yeah, where you had to run around a mall bashing people's heads in with whatever you could find.
Dead Rising?
We thought it was going to be a great game, and it sucked balls.
This is stupid. A lot of people really liked it. I got Dead Rising 3, and I got bored of that quick.
I'm like, I got Dead Rising 1 and never wanted to play again.
Yeah, I was like, well, I got an Xbox One and it was a launch title. And I was like, I need to play a game that does stuff on this console. And now I don't have an Xbox One because it was stupid.
Yeah.
People be like, Xbox One is the greatest system in the world. No. I'm like, no. I literally can get nearly every game on, because Windows is doing that unified platform BS.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, is it on the Xbox? Then it's probably on PC. Oh, and then it's on PlayStation. So I'm good. I don't need an Xbox One. Like, they shot themselves in the foot. Microsoft is really good at being their own worst enemy. They're like, we made Windows XP the best operating system ever. And they're like, nobody's buying Windows Vista. Nobody's buying Windows 7. Nobody's buying Windows 8. Why are they still running Windows XP? I don't know, man. It's the best operating system ever.
Yeah, just like patch that shit up and put it back out.
They were finally like, we're no longer patching this. And if you're running it, you're going to die. And we're like, oh, okay, I guess it's time to upgrade.
Yeah. That makes me sad, though, because none of it's good.
Gosh. Well, I don't mind Windows 10. They've made it better than it used to be. They learned a lot of lessons from Windows 8's big pile of garbage.
When you have to, like, go, well, it's not as bad as it was.
Yeah. They still sneaky update you. They're like, oh, yeah, I see you were doing something at 3 a.m., but we don't care. Your system's not idle, but, nah, you need this patch.
Yes. I like that my Mac goes, can I update now? No. Okay, I'll ask tomorrow. I really should up. No. Oh, okay.
I like how my Linux machine just sits there and will occasionally go, there's updates. Whatevs. And you're just like,
I've ignored it on my computer for the last like 2 months. That's probably why it's being slow as F.
The Mac has gotten more obnoxious over time because now it's like, do you want to install now? Or do you want me to remind you 2 hours from now? Or it's giving you like 18 options for when you want the update to bother you again. Where Linux is just like, you just say, not now. It's like, okay, cool. Whatevs. Yeah. I don't care. You update if you want.
I just set mine. Like, I constantly have to go tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah, I do the same thing. And this machine's doing literally nothing. And I'm still like, oh, tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't want
to. I know. I'm like, I can't be like, I need to back your ass up. And yeah.
The only thing I do on this box is put Twitch streams on. Like, that's it. It's a MacBook Pro. And I'm just like, oh, Twitch streams and controls the soundboard. Like, that's its job in life. That's all I use it for because I really like my Linux laptop, like, a lot.
I like my Linux.
Like, yes, but how to update Linux. Get bored and install a different distro entirely. That's basically what I do. It's like, oh, Fedora's been fun, but let's try Arch. Let's go nuts.
You've gone through, like, every Linux thing there is. Every time you get a new one, there's, like, a new sticker in your room somewhere.
I know. It's fun. I get stickers from work a lot now. Got an Ansible sticker on the back of my phone.
That's really so cool.
You can't really see it. It's an H&H sticker. Because awesome.
H&H. Anyway. Good night, Mommy. I love you.
Jamal, you got to try Arch. It's a little bit heavy to set up. And if you like the stuff that Arch does, but you don't want to go through all the pain, check out Antergos.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's all the Arch without all the aggravation. So, yeah, nobody does. Tech moment. Sorry, guys. Hey, man, if you want to send us questions, comments, feedback, and hate mail, please send it to hnhshow@gmail.com. We would love to get it. We'd love to read it. It would be so much fun. It would be the greatest thing. It'd be the greatest thing. Hey, you know what else you could do? You could go to tiny.cc/2dorks, and subscribe to the YouTube channel, because that would be awesome. I made it tiny.cc/2dorks because, hey, that makes it easier for you to say and to share.
Tiny.cc?
Yeah, tiny.cc/2d, capital TV.
Tiny.cc/2dorks.
Yeah. tiny.cc/2dorks TV. The caps matter. But yeah, it takes you straight to our YouTube channel. If you guys want to put your dungeon bosses and stuff on the YouTube, I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that, and I'm like, I didn't do the thing.
Yeah, because I don't know what you talk about on it most of the time, and I don't want to worry about tags and text. I don't know what to put there. So
that's because I fail at my job, and I don't think about it until you remind me.
I'm going to leave that to you.
Car perpies.
Call us and leave us a voicemail at H&H Live on Skype. Download a show wherever you can get podcasts, Stitcher, whatever. The big thing about that, man, is if you've got time, leave a little review. I don't even care if it's 5 stars. It says, we're awesome. Just do it.
Do the thing.
It's because reviews help. They actually really make a difference. Follow us on Twitter. I'm Steve H&H, and Ashley is Fate Kills with a P-H-A-T-E Kills. And you can follow Two Dorks TV to get all the updates on when we stream, what we're doing, when stuff go on YouTube, all the things. It's great. And you can also give us tips. Click the little tips button on our Twitch page and send us a dollar. And that would be cool.
Like you get a boom.
We love that. And we're going to leave you guys with these words of wisdom to carry you through your week. And we will see you next Tuesday for The Adventures of Steven and Thursday for Orgies and Hand Grenades and Wednesday for
Dungeon Boss. Saturday.
I don't know if we're going to do the Saturday thing. I've been doing some consideration.
Uh-oh, okay.
I don't know if we're going to do the Saturday thing. I will let you guys know if we do the Saturday thing. You will see it on the Twitter. If we don't do the Saturday thing,
you will not see it on the Twitter.
And you will not see us go live on Saturday. Because reasons.
Okay.
Those reasons are mine. So Mark Twain had this to say, man, kindness is language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Yeah, loving it. Da, da, da. Loving it. Y'all the best. We see you next time right here on Horseshoes and Hand Grenades.
Bye! Okay.